This is iNightingale, keeping you at home. I'm on the street where
you live. Welcome everyone to iNightingale Show. I'm glad to have you all here this morning. It's Wednesday, the 20th of August. And today we've got a jam-packed show. We've got heaps of good stuff. I've been up all night researching a few good things. We have a special guest for Kitchen Conversations is Cash Thompson. He's a psychologist and principal consultant. I've also got a few good things for Get Out of the House. There's a couple of good events coming on around Ipswich. That'd be awesome. Ronsley Vars, I'm going to have a chat to him about the challenge he sent me last week. And I'm going to see what surprise he has for us this week. So we'll see that on the lunch break. So that'll be awesome as well. My review, so stick around for that because I found something really important to help people that are home and making sure that, you know, they have conversations at home. So we'll have a look at that. And rounding off today, we'll have Lounge Room Laughs. So I've got a bit of a good story to tell.
This is iNightingale, keeping you at home.
First story from Edinburgh Evening News is how loneliness has a growing problem for many. Loneliness has been a growing problem in the society for a long time now, and a report by the Friends of the Elderly just reported future loneliness will increase to 40% of people by 2030 in the UK. So the problem with loneliness, it's as life-threatening as obesity and poverty and has a lot of detrimental effects. So we've got to do something about that. Our guest today, Cash Thompson, will have a chat about that too, so I won't get too much into it, but it is something on our radar. Other good stories, private care in your home. Now, this is on the Queensland Times News, is private care communities are being set up now, so you don't need to have an ACAT assessment. You can live in these units now that will come and provide nursing services and home assist services without being assessed for ACAT, which is a big, big help because a lot of people are waiting for months for ACAT assessments, so that's good news as well. And another great story I saw was the ultimate bucket list, 15 things you must absolutely do before you kick the bucket. So I found that on Queensland Times. First one was go skydiving. Second one was travel on the Garn. The third was drive around Australia in a motorhome. Four, drive through the outback. That is always good fun. Fly in a hot air balloon. Read War and Peace. That'd be a bit long for me. See a sunset at Uluru. Sleep out under the stars, which is beautiful down here. Drive around the Nullarbor. And kiss your beloved at midnight for New Year's Eve in Times Square. That might be a bit far away. Learn Tai Chi. Learn a new language, go skinny dipping, that's always fun. Buy an Argyle diamond, I've been to that mine, it's big old joint, that one. And visit all the capital cities. So there you go, that's a nice little complete bucket list for you. So that was iNight News, and now we'll go to Get Out of the House.
Get out the house.
All right, this is Get Out the House. So the idea here is to give you events going on and around Ipswich to get you out the house and see a bit more of what's going on. Ipswich Council are putting on Ageing Stronger, Active Longer. It's a program that starts tomorrow on the 21st of August and goes to the 18th of September. And it's from 9 in the morning till 12, and it's free. It's low-impact fitness sessions, free interactive and motivative educational sessions, and morning tea. And it's for residents over 60, and Indigenous residents over 50 are available to go to that. That's in partnership with Able Australia, and they'll give you all the exercises and nutrition regimes you need to keep well and healthy and be active longer. So I got that information from the Ipswich Council, so you can go to their website for more details. Also, on things to do around town, I had a look there on Queensland Times. That was some really cool stuff. There is a stand-up comedian on the 23rd of August, Mark McConville and Mandy Nolan. They're a stand-up comedy act, and they're going to Studio 188. And it's tickets are about $20 online or $24 at the door. There's also line dancing for beginners on the... and they're holding that on the 25th of August at Ipswich Bowls Club. And if you want to, if you like having a bit of a chat, on the 26th of August, there's the Toastmasters International have Jacaranda 2000 Toastmasters at Goodna. So there's a couple of things to get you out of the house. There's plenty more out there, and you know, get out and have some fun.
Kitchen Conversations.
Welcome back to I Nightingale Show. I've got Kitchen Connect, Kitchen Conversations now, and my guest today is Cash, Cash Thompson. He's from Yes Psychology and Consulting. Welcome, Cash.
Thanks, Phil.
What's your favourite board game?
Oh, well, Phil, that would have to be Scrabble. I find it very fun, also very instructive, actually.
Oh, cool. And do you always win?
Well, I have around about 80% chance of winning, except when I let the kids win.
Ah, yes. You got to, otherwise they lose faith and don't want to play anymore.
Of course.
Cash, what does a psychologist do?
Okay, Phil, well, broadly speaking, psychologists help people to solve problems in their life or to improve their lives in some way, usually through evidence-based strategies or therapy. And specifically, we help people increase their self-awareness, also quality of relationships and other healthy and effective behaviour, just to sum it up.
Oh, that's good. Because a lot of people, they go, especially... You know, being a nurse, and I say, oh, you need some psychological help just to get you going. They go, oh, I'm not crazy. I don't need that. But it's right. Further from the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Most of what we do as psychologists is help everyday people deal with everyday types of concerns, like improving relationships, quality of life, as I mentioned, healthy behaviours, making changes. And then a smaller percentage is certainly some of the really hardcore concerns that people come up with.
Yes, like that leads good on to my next question is why is loneliness so debilitating for a person? Because being elderly, and I just read out a news report before saying by 2030 in the UK, 40% of people will be lonely. So why is it so debilitating for a person?
Yeah, well, loneliness can become debilitating if it leads to self-isolation, and that's certainly part of the core issue. It also becomes debilitating when people have a lack of enjoyable activities. If loneliness leads to that isolation, people often don't get out and do the things they'd like to do or connect with the people that help them feel good. It could also lead to low self-esteem and sometimes also a sense of hopelessness about the future as well. And those things combined can also contribute to feelings of depression and maybe even a clinical depression. Isolated people also don't usually get the social and practical help that they need and that support when times are tough as well.
Oh, that's, yeah. So it's quite broad-reaching, the issues with loneliness.
Yeah, definitely.
Why, in the report, it also said it's linked to causes of death similar to, like, poverty and obesity, but because you can't touch it, how does that relate to being a cause of death?
Yeah. When we look at a lot of research, doesn't always explain what I call the mechanism. Why is it that A leads to C? There's something in the middle, which is B. And here, as I mentioned too, that when people are lonely, it's sort of that feeling of sort of being disconnected from the world around. And lonely people often have a few or maybe non-existent social support. So when there are physical health issues or other concerns, there's that lack of support to be able to help out. And therefore we find that people who are more isolated and lonely are more at risk of not being rescued or helped when the time comes for a physical or a mental health issue. And also generally getting out and doing things in the community and staying healthy and fit.
Well, that leads on to another question I have. It's, you know, with the ease of access, like, and you have social media, you know, the internet, everything there that's at your fingertips, so to speak, how is loneliness still existing? That's the question.
Yeah. I'll probably answer in two parts in terms of how does loneliness develop and also, I suppose, the barriers, including, as you mentioned, social media. Look, loneliness can be sort of an internal feeling. It comes as a sense of separateness from others, sometimes even a feeling misunderstood or forgotten. It develops over time and can end up in a type of isolation, as I mentioned. Alternatively, loneliness can also be an external reality for some people, as I mentioned, the lack of social support. And that can come from a breakdown of relationships or pushing people away for some reason. And as we know, sadly, conflict and separation in social networks is actually quite common. In the end, unless the individual reaches out or someone reaches in, they remain in that lonely state. What we often find is that there are people too who, while there is access to some social media, there are barriers in the way. Well, there's two types of barriers. There's practical barriers and there's psychological barriers. And practical barriers are things like not having enough money just to connect, don't have Wi-Fi, not use a smartphone, or even to go out. Also, there's language barriers too. Some people actually have hearing impairments, naturally sight impairments as well, so that precludes the use of that social media as well.
Oh, cool. It's quite a comprehensive problem, isn't it?
It is. And Phil, the psychological barriers actually can be the hardest part to get through. And we find that while there are opportunities out there, people find themselves in a lonely situation. They could actually also have shyness or social anxiety. There could be some guilt or shame over things that have been done or said in the family and the breakdown that stops people from reaching out. Yeah. And, of course, that lack of social skills as well.
Yeah, oh, that makes sense. Cash, can you hang around for a bit? We've just got to go to a song and then we can talk about what we can do to help people with loneliness. Welcome back to Iron Nightingale's show on Phoenix Radio. And Cash, you know, we talked about the causes and the problems with loneliness. How do people know that they need like a psychology service to... What warning signs would they need to know to say, hey, I need help?
Yeah. Well, psychological help for loneliness is actually quite effective, sadly a lot of people don't access when they need because not often aware of those warning signs. Usually someone kind in the area or the community are noticed and encourage the person to seek help. Or sometimes the physical health concerns might manifest. So individual is feeling stress or loneliness and it affects them in some physical way and visit the doctor. So often it can be a doctor, not just a family member that refer. But usually it's the point where there's a block or a barrier in the way for that person being happy. So they're not able to physically be mobile as well. Getting their needs met, getting things done around the house. Things start to become unmanageable. And the increase sometimes in depression and that deeper feeling of loneliness are a trigger point for people to know that they need help. Things are getting worse. They're not getting better. And a number of people around them are saying, hey, you know, it's probably a good time for you to get some professional support.
And get sorted out. Oh, that's good. Mm. Can you give the listeners an inspiring story or what's made you feel inspired lately?
Yeah, well, how about a story which probably has a different version throughout the community, thinking about community spirit as well. This is about Ethel and Andy. Ethel's this is a story that I heard some years ago, which really inspired me. Ethel was an older lady who was, you know, fairly cranky in the neighbourhood, and was fairly isolated as well. And she was getting on in years and not able to really look after her lawn, her garden, just having some falls, and didn't have any family around. But there were a few concerned neighbours who had known her for some time, and any young family up the road too, who would sometimes try and drop in on her. And anyway, Ethel was proud, didn't really want any help, didn't want any home care either at the time. But there was a young lad named Andy who was getting in trouble at school, and he wasn't, he was sort of not very occupied in the area, a little bit of an outcast himself, sadly. Anyway, it was, Andy's mother linked Ethel and Andy together one day and prompted Andy to go and mow Ethel's lawn. And to his surprise, he got some pocket money for that. Anyway, a sort of an awkward relationship struck up between the two, where Ethel would ask Andy to come over and do some chores for her. And that included, you know, cleaning the window, doing the lawn. This helped Andy as well, because he was happy to get a little bit of extra pocket money, and other neighbours were asking him for help as well. So, interestingly enough, Ethel was wanting to help Andy out, being concerned for him. Anyway, one day, Andy was knocking on the door to pop in to see if he could provide some help to Ethel on a weekend. He looked through the window and noticed that Ethel herself had actually either passed out or she was on the floor for some reason. It was quite concerning. He managed to get in the house, but the door was open. Called the ambulance. Ethel had passed out and fainted and taken to hospital. Now, she was okay, but actually really scared Andy. And later on, they had a chat about this. And through that chat, Ethel decided to get a bit of professional home help in. And what I thought was interesting about that story was this was a little bit of community spirit that got through the barrier. There was some way that Ethel could help Andy, and ultimately it helped her because she was in a certainly very dangerous situation, passing out with no one there to really be there to help her.
That's good community spirit, though. You know, they managed to make a bond there and help each other out like that. That's quite impressive. Because
right.
If Andy didn't come, there would be no one there for Ethel, would there?
That's right. So because that struck up some regular contact, it just happened to be the right timing. But without that help or letting Andy into her life, Ethel wouldn't have actually had that opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, Cash, how can people contact you if they need some services?
Well, my website is www.yespsychology.com.au or mobile number 0447 403 431.
Yep. And can they be referred by, like, GPs and stuff as well?
Yeah, general practitioners can refer through to my service using a better access to mental health care plan or just privately as well. And the website has a range of tips and information available for the community for older and younger people as well. And I encourage people to access that self-help.
Oh, that's really great. That's great. Well, just before I let you go, what's the one tip or piece of advice you can give to people to do now to stop loneliness?
I think it's really important to affirm, strengthen your social support. So the tip I'd give would be call or message that one person that you trust that you can talk to and tell them how much you appreciate their company or their help. You might have more than one, but I would encourage people to go out today and affirm those social support mechanisms.
Oh, that's great advice. That's really helpful stuff. Thanks for your time today, Cash. That's been really, really... I've just got a lot of questions I'm going to think through myself about loneliness and how to help people. And you've given us some great ideas. And thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate your time and take care.
Thank you very much, Bill.
No troubles,
bye.
Cash. Bye-bye. That was Cash Thompson from Yes Psychology, giving us some good tips on loneliness and how we can what we can do to prevent it.
Lessons from the study.
G'day. Welcome back to I Nightingale Radio. Today's lesson from the study, I'm going to talk about emergency admissions. So if you've had something go wrong or you need to see a doctor and come into emergency, I just want to talk about the relevant information you need to bring in and relevant things. So if you feel like your omission's going to be like progressed to staying in hospital and not just going home. Pack an overnight bag, just with basic toiletries. You don't need a 30-kilo luggage bag. You just need, like, overnight 90 and just some basic toiletries. I do have a couple of people, or actually I had a lady last week in bring three bags, like big suitcases, and I was like, well, you're only going to stay in one night. What's going on? So always pack light, but just have something. Have something to read in there, because it does get lonely when you're sitting around in bed by yourself and there's only so much TV you can watch. So have something else to preoccupy you. Like Cash, he plays a bit of Scrabble, so maybe a Scrabble board or something would be good. Other relevant things to bring in is your medication. And if you can't bring in your medication because that's in a suitcase in its own, bring in a list of the medication, but also the doses that you have and the times of day that you have them, because just having the name of the medication, that's not the complete story that the medical staff need. They need to know the dose and the actual how many times you have that medication, and bring that in as well. Also bring in next of kin details, so we know if something happens to you, who do we call, who do we contact, who do you go home with, that sort of thing as well. So my lesson from the study is when you come into an emergency department, just make sure you have all your, you know, relevant information ready at hand, so the doctor can quickly assess you and get you on your way. Oh, P.S. Let me P.S. this. I just forgot about that. Also bring in a... It's nice if you have an A4 sheet of paper with all your past medical history, any surgeries you've had done, any medical problems you had. If you have a nice little sheet like that, and also your allergies, so if you're allergic to any medication or any other product, have that on as well, because that's very important. Gosh, that was naughty of me, wasn't it? Well, that concludes lessons from the study. When you see me strutting in the barnyard, you
wouldn't think I have the best of life. Lunch break.
Welcome back to I Nightingale Show on Phoenix Radio. We're on lunch break now, and I have the wonderful Ronsley Vars on the other line. Are you there, Ronsley?
Yeah, Phil, how's it going?
Oh, I'm good, mate, I'm good. Let me just say, last week that cabbage and scrambled eggs went down a treat.
Awesome.
I tried to do your challenge, I even videoed it, so I'm waiting to get that on the website, but I tried to do it in 6 minutes. And I just want to report back. Oh, I got close. I got seven. I'll probably talk too much in between. But anyway. So
what did you do? What did you add to your...
Do I have to say?
Why not? Tell everyone. Well, I
got the cabbage and I just chopped that up first. And I sauteed it, as you say in the business. Fried it. Beautiful. Then I scraped it off and put it on a plate as the bottom bit. And then I got three eggs with rice milk and scrambled them up with rice milk. Just because I'm dairy intolerant. But did that, put that with a bit of salt and pepper as well, and then put that over the top of the cabbage. And then I got the balsamic vinegar and spread it around like that. That's how
Wicked.
I did it. Is that all right?
Next time, I'll give you a quick tip. So I'll reduce your time from 7 minutes to probably five now.
Really?
So when you have the cabbage going and the cabbage is done, you add your balsamic to the pan.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then you add your eggs in that, and you turn the heat to medium, and you cook your eggs within the same pan with the cabbage in it, and then you can... sprinkle some smoked paprika on top with pepper and salt.
That's gold, man. That's really good.
I reckon that'll be like 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Well, I'm doing seven, and you reckon I can take 2 minutes off my time?
Yeah, man. I reckon.
Oh, gosh. All right. I'll have to have a crack at that. I tell you what, the kids loved it. Like, you know, I've got four boys under six, and they all demolished it. I was like, where's some for Dad, man? So it was really good.
That is awesome.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
So you want my quick tip for today?
Yeah. Well, I've just I had a comment on Facebook yesterday. I had a daughter. She's got her mum at home, and her mum's got severe dementia. And her problem is her mum stopped eating food. All she'll have is a cracker with sugar on it. And, you know, she's stressed. The daughter's stressed because she can't give her anything decent because mum won't eat it. So I was wondering if you had any good quick recipe or something that, you know, some tip to help encourage people to eat that don't really feel like eating. It's probably a hard one, but...
Yeah, well, that is definitely a hard one. I mean, it's really hard when someone can't communicate with you as to what they're feeling like, and I'm sure that's probably what she's going through. And if she if she's having a cracker with sugar, and that is something that she likes,
yeah.
if you break it down, she probably likes something crunchy. She probably likes some sort of carb with it, like some sort of white carb, which is high in fiber, or sorry, low in fiber, one of those two, and something sweet. So if you wanted to do something a bit different, maybe a jam could be an option.
Like a
homemade jam, not necessarily the one in the one that you get in the store, because there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that you shouldn't be eating, the ones you get in the store.
Yeah.
A jam could be an option. Something crunchy, like some corn chips could be an idea.
Corn chips, yeah. And jam sort of thing. Or like a salsa.
Well, yeah, either a salsa. I think a salsa, a Swedish salsa, like a chutney.
Okay.
With corn chips might be something that she's got to try it out and see how she responds, because, I mean, you can get a lot of good homemade chutneys these days. So if she can get that and just plain corn chips,
yeah,
from the supermarket that says the ingredients should say only corn, vegetable oil, and salt, and that's all that should be there in the corn chips. I'd be very interested to see how she goes with that, and connect with me so that maybe we can diagnose and find out what a palate actually craves. We'll try different things out.
Really? Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, because it'll be, if she likes something, she'll eat it. If she doesn't like something, she won't eat it. But we just have to find out through trial and error what those things are.
Yeah. And so she can eat more than just a biscuit with a bit of sugar on it, because...
Yeah, I mean, when you break it down, I mean, there's not much information to go from with a cracker and sugar. I mean, but if we kind of tried different things and we knew a bit more information, then probably we could design a meal plan that she might actually like.
Oh, really? What info would they need?
Well, they have to try something other than crackers and sugar.
Yeah, right.
That would be the first step. And based on crackers and sugar, what else could you sort of give her that she might like and see, I mean, her reaction to it? There also could be there's a huge tendency that she might not try anything else because she's so used to having crackers with sugar.
Yeah.
So it's a very complicated situation, I mean, but we can definitely try to give her, slowly get her onto something that's more nourishing.
For her,
I guess.
No, that's great. That's great. Do you have a quick recipe we could whip up for lunch today?
Yeah, mate. If you get a couple of zucchinis,
yep,
and you cut them in half, and you take a spoon and you remove all the insides, as in not the insides, as in the seeds from the inside.
Remove the seeds,
The middle bit. Yeah, and if you have some leftover mince in the fridge, or leftover chicken, or whatever leftover that you have, meat in the fridge, you put that in the inside, you sprinkle some cheese on it, and you put it under the grill, and you should have something in about, I'll say 7 minutes, because until the zucchini is cooked.
Yep.
So it shouldn't take too long if it's under the grill, because it's direct heat. If you preheat the oven and you put it in the middle of the oven on full whack, that should not be more than 5 minutes.
Preheat oven for 5 minutes. Right, eh? I'll just write all that down so I can give it a crack. That's good. Yeah. Oh, that sounds like a nice, beautiful lunch. It covers all the bases, doesn't it?
Yeah, so. It is. It does, and it's quite simple, quite quick to do. So if you walk into the house and you switch your oven on, and then you start cutting the zucchini and see. I mean, it does deal with wastage as well, because we normally don't really know what to do with wastage, a lot of us. So.
Yeah, that's true. It just goes in the bin most days.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
So
even if you add chickpeas, or even if it's vegetable that is it's leftover from the previous night, then you can use that as well. So.
Oh, that's cool. Because I was listening to your podcast last night with the French chef who used all the duck. I was like, oh, my God, they use everything. It was like, wow, there's no wastage there.
Yeah, no, she's been involved. She's she was the mentee of Julia Child, who brought French cooking to America. So she's big, and she's been part of the food scene in American culinary for like a long, long time. So she knows what she's talking about.
She sure does. Well, so do you, big fella. So where can we find you?
Well, bond-appetit.com is the easiest way. But if that's too hard, I've just got a new domain, just easier to sort of get out to people. It's getbonding, getbonding.com, and it'll take you to the same site. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you think. If you can even give us an idea of what you'd like to hear going forward, then I can prepare
something for that. That's great. Thanks, Ronzi. Thanks for your day, buddy.
Cheers, Phil.
No worries. And we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, mate. Have a good one.
Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Bye.
That was Ronzi Vaz from Bon Appetit. Welcome back to the weather. Maximum of 23, possible late showers today. Sunny morning, a possible shower later this afternoon and evening. Light winds becoming south to southwest, 15 to 20 k's in the morning, then becoming light in the middle of the day. Currently it's 22 and it feels like 18. But I tell you what, in here it feels like 12. It's quite cold. So now we're going to go on to Phil's review.
Phil's review.
Welcome back to Phil's review on iNightingale. I've found this awesome website called Start to Talk. It's start with the number 2 talk.org.au. It's put on by the Alzheimer's Foundation, and it is really good. I went through it last night. It has my plans, their plans, state and territory planning tools. What it is, it gets you having the conversation that when you get older, what do you want done before it's too late, before you get dementia or Alzheimer's, what are your wishes, what are your plans? And what it does, when you go in and go to the drop-down tab of my plans, it steps you through of all parts of your life. So if you go, oh, I didn't think of that part, well, now you can. And then when you need to have a talk to your significant other or family, and they give you ideas how to actually approach it. How do you actually start the conversation off saying, hey, if I lose my mind, what do I do? So you don't have to be that blunt about it, but they give you a few good ways to step through. So it's really good. Gets you thinking and gets you talking with your family and significant other, because there's nothing more heartbreaking than seeing a family fall apart when a relative has dementia or Alzheimer's, because they've got different stories of what they think that person wanted compared to what the person actually does want. So get on there, look at Start to Talk. So that's start2talk@.org.au, and have a look and check it out. It's really worth looking at. So that's it from Phil's review.
Lounge Room Laughs.
Welcome back to Lounge Room Laughs. So our last segment of the day. Today I found something from Spice of Life just for fun. It's a Facebook page. It's really awesome. And it goes, if you're happy and you know it and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, share your meds. And I was like, oh, if you saw the picture to it, there's a little old lady on a moped and pills popping out everywhere. It was quite funny. So I'll leave you with that. So be happy. And, you know, if you know someone that is lonely, reach out to them as well. And, you know, just say that you are there, because loneliness is a major problem for people and we need to get it sorted out. I'd like to thank Sam, my producer. I'd like to thank our guest for Kitchen Conversations, Cash Thompson. Ronsley Vars for our lunch break. So I'm going to give that a crack this afternoon, see how it go. And you'll see in the show notes, I'll have a video of it there for you. And I'd like to thank everyone for listening. And if you have any comments or questions, please let us know and we'll answer them in next week's show. So like we did for a listener, we've answered, you know, how to feed mum more than just sugar and crackers. So if you've got any questions, I'd love to hear from you. If you want to contact us, go to inightingale.net or phoenixradio.com.au and leave us comments there. Thanks for listening. And my name's Phil. I'm here to help you care. Bye-bye for now.